handles the driving dish. Ingles delivers. George and Ingles continue to go at it.
You gone. That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Monday, April 30. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm hanging out here in Larryama Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA and the NBA playoffs today, just while repping Australia a little bit. Why not? So today's show wraps an insane weekend of playoff basketball, including a couple of Game 7s, a couple of second round Game 1s, and OKC crapping the bed like a sick 3-year-old. Also, we've got the playoff editions of the usual dumbassery, yeah nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp on your takes. And as we do every day, we've got the Australian Player Watch, where we check in on what the Australians got up to on the weekend. And sadly, we're sending a couple of them home. God damn it. Anyway, we also preview the first game of the Philly-Boston second round series. It's tonight. We give you a dickhead of the week. We have a new Andrew Gaze All-Star putting the fun in fundamental. And we finish up with a brand new Delhi reviews. That's right. He's fresh out of being knocked out of the playoffs. But Delhi is still delivering. It's episode 108. It's NBA Australia. Let's go.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Delhi over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Ah, you better, because this is where we always have the Shaq attack of the daily whip around here on NBA Straya. Whip. It's a whip. We whip around. Sure. So let's get to it. A massive weekend of NBA stuff going on. This was fun as hell. There was so much going on. So let's go back to Friday, should we? And that's right. Indy kicked the shit out of the Cavs 121-87 in Game 6 in Indiana to tie up their series 3-3. Oladipo went off with a triple-double 28-13-10. And the Pacers just beat the shit out of the Cavs. So that game sucked. But then we moved on to a pretty okay one, I guess. The Raptors go into Washington and beat the Wizards 102-92 to win their series 4-2 in the first series. That's it. See you, Wiz. The Wiz bow out going the way that you usually would. I mean, playing dumbly, not figuring out how to do it together, being up and down, disappointing their fans. You know, the usual Wizards shit. So the Wiz, they had no Otto. I like to get Blatto Porter. He had a weird sort of knee thing that they were like, oh, shit. Yeah, you can't play in this game, Otto. He's like, ah, man. Like, I'm making $25 million. I don't give a fuck if I play or not. Brad Beal finally appeared in this goddamn series. He had 32 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. Went 6 of 10 from 3. Pretty bloody good there, Brad. John Wall had 23 and 8. Shot 9 of 22, though. And that was kind of the rest of the team. 40% overall for the team. The bench had 20 points. And after Brad Beal went 6 of 10 from 3, the rest of the team hit 2 of them between the rest. Jesus! So that was it for the Wiz. They shit the bed. It was gross. This team has got some problems, man. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but damn. I can smell a boogie trade. What do you reckon? For the Raps, big booty guy Larry had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. DeMar DeRozan there had 16 points and 6 of 8 shooting. It didn't really matter. Kyle Lowry just sort of controlled the game. They got 34 from that awesome Toronto bench. And also, my name is Jonas Valanciunas. He's carrying the whale. He had 14 and 12. Out there crushing it. Pascal Siakam had 5 of... He went 5 of 6 for his 11. Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl, he had 9 points. CJ Miles, Freddie Van Vliet of the Fighting Van Vliets. Dellen Wright, man, they were good. Typical Raps. They just went out there, crushed it with the bench. And they didn't do it easy, though. And this goddamn series put the fear of God in Drake and all those Toronto fans. But at the same time, John Wall wasn't wrong when he told Drake that he wasn't coming back to Toronto after Game 5. Because then they lost Game 5 and 6. No one's going to call John Wall a liar right there. So, now the Raps run into a fascinating LeBron-sized challenge, don't they? Isn't that fun? But then the last game of Friday, oh shit, this was an absolute perler. In Utah, the Jazz beat OKC, remember them? 96-91 to win the series 4-2 and knock out the OKC Thunder. That's right, it's OKC, see ya later! Woo! What a shit show this was for OKC, man. They went out the way they came in, I guess, with Rusty taking a kajillion shots and the rest of the Thunder being crap. Wait. That's not how it was meant to go, is it? Yes. The gigantic no-shows from Playoff P and Melo. Oh, shit. So Rusty, he is the entire OKC offense in this game. Basically just goes, all right, fuck it, I'm a shoot because you motherfuckers ain't doing anything. Playoff P and Melo, we're going to talk about them at length a little bit later, but all you need to know, 5 points and 7 points. Boo, Jesus. Meanwhile, Rusty, oh, geez, he yelled at two different fans in the stands at Utah. One at halftime, one after the game. And in a surprise twist, there's racist white folk in Utah who are massive fuckwits. Yeah, didn't see that coming. So Rusty ends up with 46 points in this game six on 43 shots, however. Kobe, 18 of 48. He goes 7 of 19 from three. 19 three-pointers. He took 19 three. Teams don't take 19 three-pointers in a game. And Rusty, a career 31.1% shooter from three, took 19 of the fuckers. Jesus. So 46 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 5 turnovers. Look, the Rusty train is fun. You're like, no, 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 yes! I can't believe he hit that. And just that is pretty much every shot he takes. And I fucking love the guy. And this is just tough to watch, man. It's like, dude, maybe run an offense, Rusty, instead of Rusty offense, which is, hey, I'm Rusty Westbrook. Get the fuck out of my road. I'm going to shoot it. For the series, Rusty averaged 29 points a game, along with 12 rebounds, 7.5 assists, and 5.2 turnovers, taking 26.8 shots a game, 27 points a game while shooting under 40%. Yeah, it's not great. And look, he sure he didn't end up shooting too bad from three. He shot 35.7% for the series on 7 attempts a game. 7 attempts a game for a career 31.1% three-point shooter. Look, I'm not entirely sure if that's conducive winning basketball, and it turns out it's not. So there you go. Fuck you. Stephen Adams, bro, he was the only other dude who rocked up for OKC. He had 19 points and 16 rebounds, bro. Oh, that was pretty sweet, as he? Jeremy Grant had 9 points and looked, man, they looked so much better when Jeremy Grant was on the floor instead of Melo because, I don't know, Melo's a fucking spud. Melo had 7 points. Playoff P had 5 points. As a team, they shot 39% for the game, 29% from three, and that is it. The Thunder at Dunsky, the team that were all like, ooh, punch's chance. They might have a shot at Houston or OKC. Houston or Golden State. But at the same time, man, as soon as Roberson went down, this team has just been sort of fucking floundering and like, oh, shit, what do we do? How do we do? What is Melo doing? I don't know. So we'll talk about them a little bit later because there's a lot of other talking points. But for the Jazz in this game, no Ricky Rubio. He went out after the first 7 minutes. Didn't matter. Donovan fucking Mitchell stepped up. 38 points. What a fucking game. 14 of 26. Goes 5 of 8 from 3. The rookie. Unreal. Hot damn. 38 points. That was a fucking rookie record. Unbelievable. Rudy the Stafford Tower. I'm the French rejection. 12 points. 13 rebounds. 3 blocks. 8 wheels of stinky French cheese brought to the bench that could have played better than Melo, I think. Derek Favors was crucial in the series as well. He had 13 and 8, out-muscled the small ball lineups that the Thunder would throw out there, and really makes you wonder why they were just like, why don't we play more Patrick Patterson? But anyway, hey, I'm not Billy Donovan. Favors, that was pretty good. Jingles had 12 in this. Alec Burks had 11 off the bench. Crowd had a shocker, but didn't matter. The Jazz, they go through to take on the Rockets. The Thunder face yet another topsy-turvy, crazy-ass fucking offseason with their second-best players probably going to bounce. And they're stuck with a $24 million spud in Melo. So, on ya, Thunders. Nice. All right, so there you go. That was the end of one series. We had another one as well on Saturday. The Bucks lose to the Celtics 112-96 in Boston. Celtics win 4-3. And that was that. This is a bit of a laugher. Boston controlled it from the start. The Bucks came back for a little bit, but couldn't get close enough at all to really get Boston sweating. And that was that. So the Bucks, They started Aussie Thon song. Second game straight. Joe Prunty, that fucking spud of a coach. He's like, oh, wait, you're good. All right, cool. I mean, it didn't work out. He turned into a bit of a turnip again. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. But at least they realized that floor spacing is probably a good thing to have in the playoffs against a team like Boston. Bucks. No one accused him of being smart. Giannis. He had 22, 9-5 in a game 7. Couldn't quite take over. Boston's D was terrific on the guy. Like, they had these quick hard rotations. They kept him out of the paint for the most part. He basically couldn't dictate the paint. And they gave up 0 fast break points. This fucking Celtics defense, man. That's how you do it. Giannis will kill you on the fast break. And they went, all right, well, we just won't let him get out and run. Ever. For an entire game. That was fucking crazy. Chris Middleton showed up. He had 32 points on 11 of 18 shooting. 5-9 from 3. Pretty bloody good. 3 assists, 2 rebounds. Even Eric Bledsoe, the flog. That's right, he doesn't get a D because he doesn't fucking play any. Eric Bledsoe should be backing up Dally at this point. But 23 points on 9-12 shooting because no one cares what the fuck Eric Bledsoe is doing because it doesn't really impact anything. 4 assists, 3 rebounds. 0-2 from 3. Druses. Malcolm Brogdon, El Presidente, did sweet dick all as well. 2 points, 1 of 8 shooting, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and 12 points from the bench there for the Bucks. Jabari had 9 of them. Jet Terry had a 3, and no one else even scored. Dally only got half of his usual minutes allotment, and hey, I don't know. Let's move on to the Celtics, because how much fucking happier was Terry Rozé that Matthew Dellavedova, Outback Jesus himself, King Dally of Maryborough, first of his name, gatherer of loose balls, sinker of tins, the best lockdown point guard in the NBA, only played 8 minutes. So Terry Rozé gets a fucking shred Eric Bledsoe and Malcolm Brogdon, and that's what happened. He had 26 points on 10 of 16 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3 without the Outback Jesus on him. At any other point in the series, when the Bucks have actually been okay, it's when Dally's played 16 minutes and shut the fuck down on Terry Rozé. Just saying. So Terry Rozé ends up with 26 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Al Horford backs him up with 26 points as well, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He goes 13 of 17 from the field, does Big L. Unreal. And, man, Jason Tatum, what a fucking dude. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists for a rookie in a Game 7. Fucking hell. That dude is just unreal. Like, watching him in action, you're like, ooh. Oh, jeez. It's just like, fuck me. He's really, really good. Speaking of the other half of the double J's, Jaylen Brown went down in the second quarter, and the Celtics still rolled. This is the craziest part about how good these dudes are. The bench was good for the Celtics. Morris had 10. Bangers had 8. Oh, Aaron Bangers. Baines, we'll talk about him later. Shane Larkin had 8 as well. Marcus Smart kid. He had 5 points and 6 assists. And look, they really just fucking flexed, did Boston. They thoroughly outcoached the Bucks in a surprise twist, whereas Joe Prunty, oh, geez. Yeah, there's a reason why you're interim, mate. Tough one. So, look, Bucks, they go into a weird offseason where Jabari Parker clearly wants out. They've got Middleton and Bledsoe next to Giannis and, like, what? Thon? Dally? Not much else? Yeah, it's so many questions. It's very weird. It's going to be fucking fascinating to see what happens with Jabari. And the Celtics, they go through to get their ass beat by the Sixers. We'll talk about that later in our game preview. Nice one. All right, so moving on. Pelicans-Warriors. We had the first game of the second round of the playoffs as well with the Pelicans-Warriors in Golden State. And man, did the Warriors kick the absolute bejesus out of that New Orleans squad who were like flying high. Pelicans, see what I did there? That was pretty good. I thought it was all right. It's okay. 123-101, they win. Pelicans had come off the Blazers series feeling good, and this was a fucking laugher. The Warriors went, oh yeah, we're not the Blazers, fuckheads, and outscored them by 20 points in the second quarter. The first quarter was close as. I believe it was 35-34. And then the Warriors just come out and go, yep, nah, we're like real fucking good. Sorry, even without Steph, he was a game-time decision, but Steve Kerr decided to rest him one more game, so I reckon you'll see him in game 2. The Pels, Anthony Davis held to 21 points on 20 shots, had 10 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, but their game plan of smother everything that AD does worked pretty well, the Warriors. Jrue Holiday had the same problem. He had 11 points on 4 of 14 shooting, because it turns out playing against Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala is tougher offensively than being guarded by Dame Lillard or CJ McCollum. Poor Giroux. And defensively as well for Giroux. Look, they can't trap pick and rolls against the Warriors just because they don't run too many. And the Warriors' passing is just so fucking good that it's like leaps and bounds clearly ahead of Portland, who are like, Dame, dribble, 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 pick and roll, pass, oh shit, dribble, 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 oh shit, dribble, dribble, pass, dribble, oh fuck, shoot. And whereas Golden State, it's pass, 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 shoot. Much easier, much better, a lot tougher to defend. Nikola Mirotic, hello, 9 points on 9 shots, or 8 rebounds. That smooth chin did not help them this time. That's the first time they've lost since Mirotic shaved his beard. Also, anytime he ended up on the coward Kevin Durant, whoa, Jesus, not good, mate. Playoff Rondo turned back into normal Rondo with a 9, 8, and 11. Look, he's going up against a much tougher fucking defensive kind of unit in the Warriors where they can just go, oh, yeah, we've got Iguodala. Like, he can just switch on to Rondo. Oh, wait, no, we've also got Sean Livingston. Oh, also, here's Klay Thompson now on you. It's like, fuck, Ross, what are you going to do against that? And shouts, look, we don't do shout-outs or anything, but, man, good on you. Darius Miller hit a buzzer beater at the end of the first half from 73 feet out. It was sick. Thing is, it still left them down by 19 at the half, and yeah, that'll do it. So the Warriors, 26 points, 13 rebounds for the coward Kevin Durant. Look, that's just how it goes, you know. He puts the old foot down. The coward, 26 and 13, 27 for Klay, and a triple-double for Draymond, his fourth career playoff triple-double. 16 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Was everywhere and looked great. And this game was just classic Warriors. Like, they just kicked it into another gear against an opposition who couldn't quite match their intensity, especially in that second quarter, obviously. I mean, the Pelicans looked good out of the gate, and then bam, pow, right in the kisser, which is fucking classic Warriors. Tough, man. All right, so there you go. Warriors go up one zip in their series on Saturday. And then Sunday, we had two massive games. We had Indy Cavs Game 7 and Rockets Jazz Game 1. And Indy Cavs, what a fucking game this was, huh? LeBron James, amazing. So Indy, Victor Oladipo, looked very shook in the first half and then sparked alive and got them ahead in the third quarter. But they couldn't sustain it. It was hard. So Victor ends up with 30 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Plays a pretty goddamn good game, man. 4 of 9 from 3, 10 of 21 overall. He's backed up ably by Darren Collison with 23 points, but in classic Darren Collison fashion, only 1 of 3 from 3, even though he's a dead-eye three-point shooter. Didn't want to mess with those averages, mate. Thad Young was good too. Thad Junk Buckets Young, 14 and 10. Miles Turner fouled out. And yeah, that's the problem. Like, the rest of the supporting cast for Indy were a bit shithouse. Miles Turner couldn't do anything. He fouled out. Bojan no-showed this hard. Bojan Bogdanovic, after a really good start to the series, finishes Game 7, 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting. Oh, geez. Rough one. Lance Make Him Dance only played 12 minutes. He had 8 points. But clearly Nate McMillan couldn't trust him for any longer than that in a Game 7. Corey Joseph had 3 points. Trevor Booker had 2. Domantas Sabonis, the souvlaki king. Yeah, just mix meat, thanks, Domantas, and I'll get double garlic sauce, thanks. Yep, ripper, thanks, man. Yep, chips on the side, thanks, bloke. Had an okay one. He had 10 points on 3 of 10 shooting, though. 5 rebounds, also fouled out. So this is the thing for Indy. They've got the top-line talent of Victor Oladipo. And when Bojan and Lance Make Him Dance, Miles Turner actually do like a little bit, they're fucking killer. Instead, they didn't back him up. They had a shit slow one, and the Cavs won. Like, this is actually 105-98, really, because Indy hit a 3 at the buzzer, basically to bump their score over 100 and fuck with a bunch of Vegas bettors, apparently. Good job, Indy. So for the Cavs, come on, man, this is all LeBron. And a bit of timely help from the other dudes. The story really was Tristan Thompson actually coming in alive and just going, oh shit, I haven't played all fucking series and I'm going to start in Game 7. All right. And he delivered too. 15 and 10 for the big fella. 15 and 10, 5 of 6 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Added just so much more, like, hustle, defense, and rebounding to Cleveland. And, like, the Cleveland crowd, they jumped back behind him, just like he was behind that Insta Club Rat, eh? On you, Tristan. But come on, man. LeBron, 45 points in a Game 7. The dude is fucking just unbelievable. That is fucking nuts. 16 of 25 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, stamped himself all over this game, played 43 minutes, also had leg cramps, and had to come out with like a minute left in the third quarter. And he's like, oh, shit, I can't walk. But, man, 40, we'll talk about LeBron a little bit later, but goddamn, what a showing. In a game seven, he came up big. Kevin Love, also okay, 14 points, hit 4 of his 8 threes, 11 for J.R. Smith, and of the new Cleveland Cavaliers, George Hill, coming back from his back injury, had 11 too. So it was nice to see him actually do a little bit of something. Meanwhile, Rodney Hood and Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson just kind of running around like chooks with their heads cut off there for a little bit. But I don't know. Hopefully, like, this sort of brings them together throughout the first round, because, look, Cleveland got out to the lead. They gave it up across the second and third. The Pacers ran out of steam in their comeback, and the Cavs just eked it back thanks to the Pacers going cold. Some Cavs defense throwing the trap at Wichter on the odd occasion to get them out of their rhythm, and that was, you know, the Cavs sort of came together just enough, and you're like, ooh. I don't know. Are they, like, playing themselves into form going into the second round? Who knows, but kind of fun to see, isn't it? And then, look, Indy, that's it. Everyone was impressed by you guys. Good on you. Wichter, you're a ledge. Wichter Oladipo. They really need Miles Turner to get turned into a real ass kicker, or else this might just be their ceiling for this foreseeable future, huh? Weird. So, Bron goes to Toronto. That's it. Second round, Jazz at Rockets. What a fun game this was. It wasn't that fun. Rockets win 110-96. A laugher from the jump. Rockets outscored them 34-21 in the first, and couldn't do much, the Jazz, to bring it back. They put up, the Rockets were up 25 at halftime. Fast Jimmy Harden and whinging Chris Paul had 34 points between them. And man, unsurprisingly, the Rockets looked nice and rested. They hadn't played since last Wednesday, while the Jazz had played Friday against OKC and clearly weren't used to the pace of the Rockets. So it was tough, man. The Jazz, no Rubio after he got hurt in Game 6 versus OKC. He might be back for Game 2. Donovan fucking Mitchell, 9-22 for 21 points. Jingles, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, only three three-point attempts, though. 11-9 for this Stafford Tower. Jay Crowder, he woke up after a shit Game 6 against OKC. He had 21, but just not enough. Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, he got some run. But man, the Jazz, after looking fucking immortal against the Thunder, definitely look mortal against the Rockets, I'll tell you. This was the Rockets' 4th straight win by 10-plus points. And as mentioned at the top, Fast Jimmy Harden, 41 points in Game 1. Unbelievable. 12 of 26, 7 of 12 from 3, 8 rebounds, 7 assists just for good measure. The reason you go to a Turek Taylor. Whinging Chris Paul, 17 points, 6 assists, 4 steals, 15 for PJ Tucker as well. He goes 3 of 5 from 3. Clint Capela, 16 and 12 for the big Swiss man. Eric Gordon had a shit one. Oh, 6, but still hit his 7 free throws for 7 points. And Luka Mbamute, he's back, baby, after hurting his back. Crucial part for the Rockets, too. Fascinating to see if how quickly he gets back into game shape. Rockets, they shot 53.1% from 3, 17-32. God damn, that's good. So you got to figure that the Jazz key in a little bit on that, a little bit better in game 2, but man, the Jazz just looked a little bit out of their depth. They can kick the crap out of the Thunder, no problems, but the Rockets, holy shit, that's an entirely different beast. And you can see the difference between a well-coached team with a superstar as opposed to the Thunder, who were a team with a coach and a superstar. Tough ones. So let's move on to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Weekend.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
LeBron James, holy shit, mate. Game 7, passes Scottie Pippen for the most playoff steals all time, moves to 13-0 in first round of the playoffs ever, which is remarkable. Everyone's like, oh, mate, Jordan never lost. It's like, well, he actually lost in the first round, like his first 3 years in the league. LeBron's never done it. That's pretty fucking impressive. But also, so is 45 points in a closeout Game 7. 45-9, 7-4, stamped himself, as mentioned, all over it. Just another addition to the legend of LeBron, where we're kind of watching history and it's awesome, but we're all pretty happy just to bitch and moan about it, which, I don't know, it kind of sucks, doesn't it? Because we should be appreciating this a little bit more. Dude is 33 and doing this. He's in year fucking 15. That is ridiculous, mate. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it also doesn't really bode overly well for the rap series or an Eastern Conference Finals where he needs 45 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, play the entire game to get over fucking Indiana. But still, it's very fun having him in the playoffs still and having him up against the wall as well. LeBron as an underdog is still kind of fun. Remember the fucking 2015 NBA Finals? That was wicked. Anyway, so what about old mate, no mates for the weekend? That's a tricky one.
Old mate, no mates. Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? It's almost going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo in Boston. Came out after the game and said, Milwaukee, we were the better team. Were you though, Giannis? I don't reckon, because the better team probably wins. They don't get beat by a fuck ton in Boston. Just saying. Man, I'm just saying, dude. So I think Giannis would be probably persona non grata in Boston this week. This is not great. But anyway, Boston just moved straight on into Philly. They probably don't give a fuck. But Giannis, look, same thing went for Indy. They reckon they were the better team. And look, you're not. If you lose, you're clearly not the better team because you fucking lost, you idiots. All right, moving on to my fun new segment. Let's do it. It's NBA Australia. Who was the bitch-ass of the weekend? Bitch-ass of the weekend. Bitch-ass. It's Mello and Playoff P. Co-bitch-ass of the weekend. Holy shit. A closeout game, you fucking flogs. And you deliver 12 points combined. Mello has 7. Playoff P has 5. Playoff P in this game 6 against the Jazz on Friday. 2 of 16 shooting. 0 of 6 from 3. What the actual fuck was that, Paul George? Oh, bros, call me Playoff P. I'm fucking sick. Someone who's fucking sick doesn't score 5 points in a closeout game, you flog. Holy shit. So he ends up averaging for the series 24 points. That's fine. But come on, mate. In the actual closeout, what the fuck are you doing? Shot 40% from the field for this series. That's not good. 36.5% from three. Again, for a dude who should be shooting over 40 and has like 2 fairly good scorers around him, that's still not good enough. Fuck, Playoff P, that's some bitch-ass shit. Mello, last 2 games, the co-bitch-ass of the weekend. Last 2 games of this series, scored 7 points in each of them. For the series, averaged 11 points, 5 rebounds, 0.3 assists. Can you believe this? Didn't hit a 3 in the last 3 games of this series. 0 of 8 across all three games. Didn't even take one in game 6. That is the most bitch-ass shit you'll ever see, Mello. He had 2 assists for the entire series, and they were both in game 1. He went 5 games without having a fucking assist. Mello, you're a flog. He was minus 20, minus 18, minus 6, and minus 19 in the last 4 games of this series. And then had the fucking balls to come out of the series saying that coming off the bench was out of the question. Aw, that's cute. Mello doesn't know that he's washed. Wow. So there you go. Thunder. Playoff P is gone. Billy Donovan needs to be like, hey, Mello, you're coming off the bench, motherfucker. And just see how Mello likes money. Like, just Mello, how much do you like money? All right, well, you're going to come off the bench. That's how it goes. I'm the coach. You can pick up that $24 million player option on your contract if you want. But if you don't, I mean, hey, man, like if you don't want to come off the bench, you're going to have to find somewhere else to play, dude. Best of luck. So, all right, there you go. That's a bitch ass of the weekend. It's pretty fun. Pretty yelly, I guess. But at the same time, who was better than Lonzo Ball on the weekend?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Donovan fucking Mitchell. Coming for everybody. Who was better than Lonzo Ball on the weekend? It's pretty clearly Donovan fucking Mitchell. That's a man-sized closeout game, man. 38 points, crushed it. Meanwhile, Lonzo's out there looking like a Mad Max extra and fucking somewhere in like some Lutheran Anaheim gym against McDonald's workers and surfers named Brad in his dad's big fucking baller league or some shit. Amazing. So good on you, Donovan Mitchell. That was a fucking showing and a half. Jason Tatum as well. Extra bonus. Good on you, mate. That was a nice one. 20 points in that closeout game. 2 fucking rookies, dude. Crushing it. That was really cool. How about Dickhead of the Weekend? What do you reckon? Ooh, who could have this been? I'm not entirely sure.
Dickhead of the Weekend.
It's Kanye, isn't it? Come on, man. Also, it's all of us for like losing our fucking minds about Kanye. Gee, do you think he's got an album coming out? Gee, do you think he wants you yelling about him and like wearing a fucking stupid Trump hat like a fucking asshole? Yes, of course that's what he'd want. This is a fucking plea for everyone to look at him. You know what you don't do for narcissists? Feed their fucking narcissism. So Kanye, fuck off. I don't care. All right, moving on. Let's get to Yeah Nas right after, let's say this one.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Street, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Stories. Yeah, nah, we take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one was Ty Lue playing with us. And is he smart as hell for starting Tristan Thompson in Game 7? Yeah, nah. Nah, man. Throwing shit against the wall and Tristan stuck doesn't mean that Ty Lue's a good coach. He was just went, all right, fuck it. I'm going to have to go with my guys. The dudes who got us through those finals were starting Tristan, LeBron, Kevin Love, JR, and Kyle Korver. It's like, all right, cool. Best of luck, Ty Lue. And it worked. Just Tristan's like, all right, fuck it. I guess I better play good. The worst part is Ty Lue's going to keep doing that, and it's not going to work against Toronto. So that's going to be fun. Number two, would Indy and the Heat. The Heat have beaten just about all the other teams in the East apart from the two teams they played. Yeah, nah. Yeah, I think they probably would have beaten almost everyone apart from Toronto, right? Like, the Heat got beaten by Philly. Indy lose to the Cavs. And I think they both probably lose to Toronto as well. I reckon they would have beaten everybody else. Sorry, Boston. Sorry, Milwaukee. Sorry, not sorry. But I reckon that's what would have happened. Definitely Washington. Whoa, shit show. So, yeah, it's a tough one for the Heat and for Indy. Bad matchups. But, you know, that's how it goes. That's why you play the fucking regular season. Palo! Number three is playoff P gone from the Zombie Sonics. Yeah, nah. Yeah, of fucking course he is. He is Dunsky, mate. Okay, see you later, playoff P. Paul George, definitely going somewhere. We'll talk about that in a second. Extra bonus ones. Should Washington split up Beal and Wall and try to pry Boogie away from New Orleans? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, of course. Where is this going? Like, Wall and Beal, what the fuck? It's already run its course pretty clearly. They hate each other. Everybody in their team hates each other. So maybe you get Beal and Gortat, you ship them off to New Orleans. Beal is like sitting there going, oh, fuck, I get to play next to like Jrue Holiday and like AD. This is sick. Boogies are like, hey, man, it's my boy, John Wall. This is going to be rad. I don't know. You're just going to do fucking something, right? The Wizards, they're going fucking quickly to whoop-whoop. It's ridiculous. And a final extra bonus one after the first game ones of the second round. Is a Houston versus Golden State Western Conference Finals inevitable? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah, it kind of feels like it, doesn't it? There were some pretty handy game one beatdowns. That was a rough one, I'll tell you. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Hey, look at me, please.
Look at me. Paul George. Everyone's sending him to the fucking Lakers. You know where he should force his way out to? Portland. Force your way there, fella. Holy shit, he'd be great. The thing is, they've got no cap space. And I can't really see OKC signing trading Paul George, just how it goes. So it'd be fun. He'd be awesome in Portland. The unpopular part of this is everyone's like, oh, he should go to Philly. I don't want him to go to Philly, bro. Like, that'd be nuts. But I kind of like where Philly is sitting now. Like, just let it be the Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid show. Like, Paul George was all like, hey, man, I'm really fucking good. Look at me fitting next to Russell Westbrook. And then goes out and scores 5 points in a fucking game six where you get fucking your ass kicked and booted out of the playoffs. Do you really think he's going to settle into being like the third banana behind Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and be like, nah, playoff Peely is cool with this? No, he's definitely going to have the Lakers. I think throwing Paul George in there would be awesome basketball-wise, but I think it'd be a bit unfair, but at the same time, don't know if it'd work out. Anyway, moving on. Finally, Outback Takehouse. Get some shrimp with your takes. Flame grilled takes here at Outback Takehouse. It's also Monday. We have double blooming onions and double Alice Springs chicken. What the fuck is that? No one knows, but it's Outback Takehouse. Paul George is the worst clutch performer in recent NBA history, and the curse of the Gatorade commercial is real. Actually, that's not much of a hot take. Him hitting a game winner in that Gatorade commercial still remains the funniest shit ever because he's never hit a shot that matters. So that's pretty funny. Good on you, Paul George. Best of luck in LA, playoff P. All right, we'll be back right after this with Australian Player Watch, where we had five of the six remaining Aussies in action over the weekend. Let's do it right after these ones.
Hi there, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Thank you.
All right, we're back. It's NBA Australia. It's time for the Australian Player Watch. Let's do it. Ben Simmons, he's getting set to take on the Celtics tonight. Just a reminder, in round one against the Heat, he averaged 18.2 points a game, 10.6 rebounds, and 9 assists. Ho-ho! Dig it. Patty Mills, he's gone fishing, mate. The tough one, I know. Joe Ingles, jingling Joe Ingles, game 6 against the OKC Thunder. Was the point guard, basically, without Rubio. Had 5 assists, 7 rebounds, 12 points. Crushed it. So for his first round, he averaged Jingler. The Jingler, he's going to get you. 14.2 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 3.2 assists, and 0.7 steals on 43.8% shooting and 46.7% shooting from 3. He also spent 110% of the series shit-talking playoff P into going to LA. Joe Ingles shut down Paul George. Unstoppable, mate. Unstoppable. And then game one against Houston yesterday, he had 15 points, 6 of 11 from the field. As mentioned, only took 3 threes. Went 1 of 3. You kind of almost want him to take more. 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Is basically the Jazz's point guard when Rubio's not out there. It's like him and Mitchell, basically handoffs, dribble drives, penetration, pass, boom. He also had 4 turnovers. I mean, you're going to get that on the big jobs, though. So on your Jingler, good to see you out there and crushing it. Dante Exum, game 6 over OKC in that win. He only played 3 minutes and 16 seconds, had a single turnover and nothing else. That was 0-0-0-0-0-0 for Dante. So for the first round, he averaged 9.5 minutes a game, 3 points a game, 43.8% from the field, 1 assist, 1 rebound. Didn't hit a single 3-pointer either. Rough one. That continued in game 1 against Houston, 0 of 1 from 3. He had 9 points, though, 3 of 5 from the field. It's because, basically, in his 15 minutes, he got that 15 minutes because Houston were kicking the shit out of him. And a lot of this was fucking pretty rough garbage time. So 9 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist in game 1 for Dante. And how about Dele? Oh, as mentioned at the top, Joe Prunty, the flog. Halved his minutes, so only played 7.5 minutes in this game against the Celtics. And Terry Rozier, as a result, went fucking apeshit. Playing against that flog Eric Bledsoe without that D. And Malcolm Brogdon, who also had no D against Terry Rozier. Put Dele in there. Fucking put the clamps on. So Dele, game 7, 0-1 from the field, which was a 3-pointer that he missed. 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, 0 steals, 1 turnover. And look, that was a crucial mistake the Bucks made. Dele, championship tested, mate. Come on, throw him out there. So for the series, he averaged 2 points, 2.7 assists, 0.8 rebounds, 1 turnover a game, 33% from the field, 22% from 3. Yeah, not great. But only 12 minutes. Man, play him a bit more, see how he goes. Every game he played in, he shut down Terry Rozier. Like, seriously, you're a fucking spaz, Prunty. You're killing me. So Dele, that's it. Goes into the offseason along with Thon McCur. Started the last 2 games, didn't even play in game 1 and got 1 minute in game 2. If you need more evidence of Joe Prunty not being the smartest or best head coach in the NBA, I'm looking right there. So in game 7 against the Celtics, as mentioned, he had 4 points, 6 rebounds and 4 assists in his 25 minutes. Not bad, not bad. So for the series, ends up averaging 21 minutes, 5.5 points, 3.8 rebounds, 0.8 assists and 1.8 blocks. Came good, did Thon. And then just another amazing sort of glimpse of his potential. And you really, really, really hope that whoever ends up being the Milwaukee coach next year just goes, all right, man, let's just fucking start Thon next to Giannis and just see what happens. Instead of Joe Prunty going, oh yeah, Tyler Zeller seems like a good idea. That's never a good idea. If the fucking answer is Tyler Zeller, the question's just dumb. What are you doing? So good on you, Thon. Great to see the glimpse of what you could be, especially in game 3 and 4. And basically, any time they played at home, he was amazing. On the road, not much chop, but still, on your Thon. And how about Bangers Baines, as mentioned, against Milwaukee. He had 8 points, 7 rebounds in his 15 minutes, 1 assist and 2 blocks. That was a great game by Bangers. And averages for the first round series, he had 5.5 points, 5.9 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 63% from the fucking field, and 67% from 3 because he hit 2 of them. On your Bangers in 17.5 minutes a game. That's awesome. On your Bangers. Great showing. He's got game 1 against Big Simo in the Sixers tonight. So there you go. A bit of Aussie on Aussie violence for another series. Love it. All right. So everybody else, well, look, you know that Andrew Bogut is now back in Australia. Mango Mathiang is hanging out. And Kyrie is still hurt. So that is the end of the NBA Australian Player Watch for today. Let's move on to a bit of the Andrew Gaze All-Stars. That's right, we're putting the fun in Fundamentally Sound. And after that weekend, the new addition of the Andrew Gaze All-Stars is Al Horford. Unreal. What a great weekend he had. Crushed it with his Fundamentally Sound game all the way across the Bucks series. All this snap passing out of the post, his amazing defense, marshalling the Celtics defense forces. He's crushed it. Also do a bit of scoring. Very Andrew Gaze-y, Fundamentally Sound. He had 22 and 14 in game 5, 10 and 10 in game 6, and 26 and 8 in the crucial game 7. And that's just what an Andrew Gaze Fundamentally Sound All-Star does. Kicks ass, takes names, and does it in a fundamentally sound fashion. So good on you, Big Al. You're a new Andrew Gaze All-Star. And we'll be right back after, let's say, these words with the Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board, and a game preview for tonight.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's time for the Game Day Baller, Game Day Inspiration Board. And look, Patty, Dally, no one's tweeted out. So we're going to have to go to Joe Ingles today. And he retweeted Ricky Rubio saying, man, I can't be more proud to play for this organization. This was after game 6, beating the OKC Thunder. What I saw today is a team with the biggest heart I've ever been a part of, moving to the second round and we are just getting started. Man, oh man, I can't sleep, said Rubio. And Jingler, he says, thanks, Jazz fans. This is for you. Prayer hands, prayer hands, prayer hands. A photo of the amazing Jazz Arena. Hashtag second round. And then, straight after that, the next day, tweeted out coffee emoji. Jingler, you are a fucking inspiration, mate. That is awesome. So let's move on to today's game preview. Game preview. We've only got one, and it's Sixers Celtics. What do you think, Inadvertent Bane?
I believe the Sixers will win game one.
Oh, wow. That's amazing, Inadvertent Bane. Two teams meeting for the 20th time in the playoffs, which is the record. Philadelphia 76ers versus the Boston Celtics. Think about that. Over the years upon years upon years upon years upon years. This makes sense. Between Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, and then through the 70s. Well, not so much the 70s with Philly, but 80s, you had the Andrew Tone. Well, even actually towards the end of the 70s, you had the Boston Championships teams of 74 and 76. Philly ended up with Dr. J. And then you've got Andrew Tony, Moses Malone throughout the 80s going up against Larry Bird and co. And even like the, I think the Celtics beat the Sixers back in 2012. That was the Doug Collins coach team. Unbelievable. So, bit of history. None between the current two teams, but still fun. So, Big Simo and Joel Embiid versus Al Horford and Terry Rozier, I guess. The double J's for Boston are going to be fascinating. Tatum Brown were going to be a handful, right? For Covington, Redick, Simmons, the rest of their wing defenders. But man, Embiid versus Horford, Simmons versus like whoever Boston tried to throw at him from the point of attack. Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier. It's going to be unreal. And then you got the benches of Bellinelli, Ilyasova, trying to run that Boston bench of like Moose Morris, Shane Larkin. Even former Celtic Amir Johnson's going to be out there banging. It's going to be fun as hell. So, whoo, this is going to be great. Jaylen Brown tweaked his hammy on Saturday. He says he's good to go. Brad Stevens says he's doubtful, but I think that's just a bit of a smokescreen. They'll just make sure if he's ready to go or not. He may or may not still play. We've got no official word, but I kind of think Inadvertent Bane called the Sixers. I might go the Celtics. The Sixers have lost twice basically in the last like 2 months, but I think the Celtics might be on a bit of a roll, especially staying at home. Bit of emotion, but the Sixers will be nice and rested. Oh, it's tough. Give me the Sixers. Fuck it. Let's go. Fun. Give me the Sixers in game one, and that's it. I fucking love it. This is going to be a great series. I cannot fucking wait. And you know what? That's it today. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to wrap that Sixers-Celtics game. We're not going to be going anywhere near as long as we did today. We had a big weekend to cover, so thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening. That's been it for today. We'll be back with more tomorrow. Heaps more ridiculousness. As mentioned, that Sixers-Celtics game. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. There'll be heaps of stuff going up there all the time. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Chuck us a rating and review while you're at it. Come on, tell a mate. Any mate who likes basketball, go, oi, fuck it. You listen to NBA Australia? Go on. Don't. Go on. Don't be a dickhead. You better be listening. thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, the best band in Australia. Their new song, Stop, is still a fucking hurler. Hit up Triple J and go, oi, play Stop by House Hats. It's awesome. Extra special thanks to legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes throughout the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. If you're in a band and you got a mate, hit me up. I'll play it. Check them all out on Bandcamp and Facey. And stick around for a brand new Deli review where he reviews Westworld, kinda. That's right, Matthew Dellavedova with his weekly pop culture review. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. Thanks for an awesome weekend. This is NBA Australia saying, later! Hosen!
Oi, oi, oi! How you going? It's old mate Deli over here, eh? Just swinging by from the usual spot on NBA Australia to talk about pop culture. And like, look, we just got knocked out of the fucking playoffs, so I'm pretty fucking shit-faced from all the Corona tinnies I've been smashing over the weekend, right? Like, I took out all the boys after I lost to Boston. Like, hit up the pub, lined up plenty of Corona tinnies and Jaeger shots for all the boys. And then we just hung out and met, like, chicky babes trying to hook into Giannis. And then I chucked us a pretty sick barbie yesterday at Chez Deli and smashed cans all fucking weekend, bro. Pretty fucking sick as, like, Thon was spewing his guts up after like 2 beers, and that Mormon Jabari Parker, he's like, nah, I can't drink, mate. So I got the boys to fucking pin him down, and we shoved a beer bong in his mouth and forced him to skull like 4 Corona tinnies. Oh, it was fucking hilarious, mate. He was fucking ruined. Oh, I loved it. Fucking last time I tried to see him, like, he was trying to fight Joe Prunty. Well, that's like what he thought was Joe Prunty. It was actually my neighbor's dog. I'm like, what are you doing, Jabari? He's like, oh, I'm gonna fucking bash him. And it's like, oh, you're a dickhead, mate. Then he disappeared and no one's heard from him since. We don't know where the fuck he is, mate. He's not even answering his phone. It's funny as shit. Oh, I'll tell you, you can fucking put him away. My mate Jet Terry over there, like, sitting next to him on the bench all fucking year, and he can, like, drink a slab all by himself, I reckon. Like, I reckon he had all these Corona tins that I bought, and, like, he turned around and was like, what the fuck are you looking at? He had like 28 of them. And I'm like, fuck, Jet Terry's sick. That was awesome. Fucking even Giannis smashed him too. Everyone except for that fucking little nerd Malcolm Brogdon. What a fucking dork, mate. We tried to force him like we did Jabari, and he fucking pulled a shooter. He's a dangerous cat, that one. And it's always the fucking quiet ones, you know? Anyway, so I was gonna watch Avengers Infinity War and review it for you, eh? But between all the travel and getting fucking shit-faced, I didn't get a chance over the weekend. So I just watched Westworld where I was shit-faced last night, and I have no fucking idea what's going on. Like, there was that fella from Breaking Bad and shit, and that was weird, and then they were at like a party or some shit. Just like Deli's party, I guess, but like, they all stopped moving, and it's like, oh, the dude's like, oh, fuck, they were robots and shit. And time kept moving around. I didn't know where the fuck we was, and like, I had no idea what's going on. Like, I guess it's probably because I haven't slept in like 2.5 days and had enough fucking Corona tinnies to sink a fucking ship. So I might have to watch it during the week again. Like, I got nothing else to do now that we're out of the playoffs, so why the fuck not? So you better expect plenty of fucking great Deli reviews the next couple of weeks while I catch up on all the shit I missed out on during the season, eh? So, look, fuck it. That's it for this week. I don't know what the fuck happened in Westworld. Well, I'll have to watch it again. But I'll talk to you next week for NBA Australia's pop culture review. And I'll talk to you about Avengers Infinity War. All right, so later, cunts. Deli out.